Well, again, good morning, everybody. Glad to see you and welcome to our second service. And in our teaching time, I would like to start today a brief three-week series that I'm calling Vitals. We're going to take a look at some core practices that the Lord asks us, invites us, even commands us to embrace because they'll help us. They'll help us in our practice of a pure, authentic faith. We're going to talk today about baptism. And then over the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about communion and prayer. My name is Ronnie. I'm a baptized person. Notice I didn't just say I was baptized, you know, years ago back in, you know, 1970, whatever. No, I'm a baptized person. God started something in me years ago, and it's still ongoing. And I am still immersed in Jesus. I'm still all in. And he is all in for me. And no, baptism is not just some magical rite. But when a person is baptized with the right intention, it's a significant moment in your life. And whatever you believe about baptism, you can't read what the Bible has to say about it and simply say, well, baptism is just some unnecessary, optional human experience. The scriptures don't leave you that option. So whatever you believe, the scriptures don't leave that option. Now, let's very quickly do a little walk through God's history for a moment and how that God has often used water at times of creating new life. Okay? Let's go back to the creation story. And in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God is moving over the waters. And out of that moment, the Lord says, let there be light, and there's light. And then you read a little later in the book of Genesis, and you come to the Noah story. Noah and the ark, and how that out of that water experience, did you know that there is a replica ark in the Netherlands? Well, now you know, there's a replica ark in the Netherlands. There it is. And out of the Noah story, God brings forth new life. And then, of course, there's the Exodus story. Moses leading the children of Israel from slavery to freedom, and they encounter the Red Sea. And God leads them across. And in the New Testament, the Lord will point back to the Noah story and the Red Sea story as experiences of new life and leaving slavery to a land of freedom. And then, of course, there's the time when the children of Israel, Moses is now dead, but Joshua is leading the scene, and they come to the Jordan River, and here they are getting ready to cross over into the promised land. And the Lord says, you know, send the priests ahead of the group, carry the Ark of the Covenant. They come into the water. And what happens? The water parts and they march right across into a new land, into a new life. Now, the place where they crossed is a little spot called Betharaba. And at that same spot, years later, John the Baptist was out there baptizing. Jesus goes to that same area where years earlier the children of Israel would have crossed over into a new life. And he goes there and he's baptized. And the baptism of Jesus, listen carefully, was the first Christian baptism. And behind every Christian baptism is the baptism of Jesus. And behind your baptism is the baptism of Jesus. And there are some things that happen there, not for his benefit, but for yours. So that you would know that what happens in that moment also happens in your moment. But listen, it's not just that it happens in that day. I got married on August 2nd, 1980, But I am married. Not, well, I was married. I am married. Something started August 2nd, 1980, and it's still ongoing. My name is Ronnie, and I am a baptized person. I'm a baptized person. I'm all in for Jesus. He's all in for me. Luke chapter 3, here's what happens. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Notice, he wasn't afraid to identify with sinful people, so he goes down, he's baptized too. Not for forgiveness, but for other reasons. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. And listen, gang, when you were baptized, that happened too. You received the Holy Spirit. God declares you to be his son or daughter. And in that moment, God declares also that he is well pleased with you. Baptism means something. Have you been baptized? If the answer is yes, you're still living as a baptized person. What I'd like to do here for just a few moments, talk about four baptism implications and four baptism questions, all right? Baptism implications. The first one is obedience. That we simply obey, we obey Jesus, we obey his example, and we obey his command to be baptized. And it's an experience that we all share in common. And if you've not been baptized, I would ask you this question. If you are a follower of Jesus, why would you balk at the first thing he asks you to do? So obedience is one implication, but it certainly moves beyond that. Secondly, identification. That we, when we're baptized, we're saying, okay, I'm on his team. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm on the Jesus team. My allegiance is to Jesus. I am aligned with him. The Bible says it like this in Galatians chapter 3. So in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. That's you. You're a child of God. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, you've clothed yourselves with Christ. In other words, we put on the Jesus uniform. And there's neither Jew or Gentile, slave or free, no male or female. You're all one in Christ. This is now our identity. This is who I am. This is who I'm following. The story of Jesus becomes my story. And I'm identifying with the one who was crucified for me and with the one who was raised to new life. And all the old social distinctions are no more. Your life is now hidden in Christ. So we identify with Christ in our baptism. I'm on his team. I'm on his team, unashamedly. Before I'm a Texan, I'm a Christian. Before I'm an American, I'm a Christian. Before you're a tough guy, you're a Christian. Before you're a girl, you're a Christian. Before you're an American, before you're of any political, that's my ultimate allegiance, my ultimate alignment, my identity with Jesus trumps everything. Third implication is a washing. This is an interesting picture. That no matter how dirty, how vile, how stained, you think, well, I'm beyond forgiveness. I'm beyond cleansing. The detergent, the bleach of the blood of Jesus, as we were singing so beautifully this morning, and it so touched your heart and mine. No matter who we are and where we've been, we are washed in the grace and the blood of Jesus. And that metaphor is used in Scripture. To someone who had murdered believers, these words were stated. And now what are you waiting for? Get up. Be baptized. Wash your sins away, calling on his name. And again, the metaphor is used. The Lord saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. And he saved us, and notice this description of baptism, through the washing of rebirth and renewal in the Holy Spirit. Well, the fourth implication is that of a new life. A new life. In baptism, you cross into all things new, and they continue to become new. My name's Ronnie. I'm a baptized person. It's going to take me a lifetime to figure out all the implications of my baptism, because what's God up to today in my life? Where's Jesus calling me today in my life? You see, when I got baptized, I was completely immersed, meaning I surrender. And that's my strategy. What's my strategy for life? I have waved the white flag. No longer my life. I'm on the Jesus team. I'm following him. I bend the knee to him. I follow him. That's my strategy. One guy, I heard a story one time of a guy who lived in a particular community, and his philosophy in life was as follows. I work hard, I take care of my family, and I mind my own business. I work hard, I take care of my family, I mind my own business. Oh, later in this man's life, he becomes a Christian. A friend of his was asking him one day, said, "Is that still your philosophy in life?" He says, "It's still my philosophy. I work hard, I take care of my family, and I mind my own business. But now I actually know what my business is. I have new business. Before I became a Christian, I didn't really know what my business was." And in Christ, just there are new possibilities. And God's calling me to freshness. He uses this analogy in Romans 6. He says, and he's talking to people who are already baptized. He says, "Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in baptism, we were joined with him in his death?" In other words, baptism, it's not like a hand washing. There's a drowning that goes on. "And we died, but just as Christ was raised to a new life, now we also live new lives with a new strategy, new possibilities." All right. Now, those are some implications of baptism. That it's an experience we all share in common, so it's not an option for us. We obey that, and we all share it in common. We identify with Christ. We're on the Jesus team. There is a washing that the blood of Christ, the grace of Christ, is sufficient to continually keep us all clean. And in Christ, there are new possibilities. Now, what are some common questions? I'm not going to be able to address them all, but I'd like to address four of the most common questions that I get regarding baptism. And here's the first one. It's the how old question. You know, how old should a person be before they're baptized? You know, there are some people who baptize infants, and there are, you know, other folks, they may not baptize infants, but they baptize 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds. How old should a person be? I don't have book, chapter, and verse from the Bible. The Bible doesn't tell us that. Parents, let me say to you, I believe that you are the best judge of that. Here at the First Colony Church of Christ, we do not practice infant baptism. Don't get me wrong. We love children. We spend a lot of money, time, and energy on children. We believe children are precious, that they have bright minds and good hearts and eternal souls, and we want to invest in their life. And when they're born, we have prayer dedication services. But we don't believe it's a sin to be born. And so children, infants don't need to be baptized, because the power in baptism comes from your own faith, your own volitional choice to follow the Lord. So at what age can a person do that? 5? 6, 7? 10, 12? I don't know that I have a really good answer. Martha and I always if our child still believed in fairy tales, they probably weren't postured to make a wise, discerning decision regarding Jesus. And my personal belief is that a lot of children who grow up, I am not one who believes that children are born safe. I believe they're born safe in the love and arms. But I don't necessarily believe that all children go from safe to lost to saved. I believe a lot of children go from safe to saved. And that little child who's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, old enough to say, "You know what? I think I'm ready now to embrace Jesus on my own." It's not like they're coming from a background of being outside of Christ. To use the terminology of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it's like they're set apart because of their parents. They're sanctified because of their parents. That, in essence, what I'm saying to you is that your children are so blessed to get to grow up under a mom or a dad or a mom and a dad who are raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My prayer for all of the little children growing up in this church is that you will have very boring, vanilla testimonies in your life. That your story of coming to Christ will be, you know, I don't have a real checkered past. I don't have any flamboyant out there, you know, lived in the gutter for a while. I grew up, obeyed my mom and dad. I love Jesus. I serve Jesus. And, you know, that's been my life story. I hope that's yours. I know of one guy who was speaking to a youth gathering one time. And listen, I praise God for this. He was redeemed from the gutter. He had a checkered background. God's grace saved him and redeemed him from a very checkered past. And he's giving his testimony. And when it was all said and done, one young man came up and said, I really wish I had a compelling, interesting story to tell like that myself. But he said, I grew up in a Christian home. I've just always loved Jesus and served Jesus. And I don't really have any interesting story like that. And the guy said, I wish I had your story. Without all the unnecessary bumps and bruises and wounds. Listen, my friends, the grace of Jesus is so wonderful and beautiful and powerful, and it forgives. And the grace of Jesus is also so wonderful and beautiful and powerful, and it protects and sometimes keeps you from so much unnecessary frustration. How old? I don't have a really good answer. I think that child needs to be able to have a credible profession of faith, understand the significance of the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and what Jesus is calling them to do. And in essence, the baptism of Jesus even serves as a forerunner for that. Jesus, who came not because he needed ultimate cleansing, but he comes because he's ready at this time to embrace his mission and to embrace discipleship. Now, that's my take, okay? You may say, well, Ronnie, I'm not sure I agree with it. That's fine. You think about it. You wrestle with it. You know, you ask the question, I'll give you my perspective, okay? Here's a second one. The exception question. That is, you know, if the Bible speaks so much about baptism and how important it is, well, what about the person who doesn't know about baptism? Or what about the person who can't get to the baptism? What about the person who's on the, Ronnie, what about that guy? He's on his way to be baptized. He's walking down in the baptistry. He slips and he hits his head on the baptistry step and he died. What about that guy? You think I'm making this stuff up, don't you? I'm not making these questions up. And you know, listen very carefully. If you're uncomfortable with a God who makes exceptions, you're not going to have fun reading the Bible. Because you read the Bible, you're going to see. I didn't say that our God breaks his promises. That's not what I said. He's always fair. He always keeps his promises. But get this, he also has such a beautiful heart. He's not willing that any should perish. His eyes roam the earth looking for good hearts. He gives grace to the humble. And there is one example after another in the Bible of, listen carefully, of God making exceptions to the normative way that people would come to grace. But listen carefully. God makes the exception. I don't make it for him. He does. And it was always, and it was never to a person with a bad, rebellious attitude. Always towards a good heart. You can trust God. All right, here's the third one. The H2O question. Now, how come you guys immerse? Well, first of all, you know, I mean, the word baptism itself is a translated means immersion. But it is a picture, get this now, of somebody who's all in. I am all in. And Jesus is all in for me. It's a picture of I am completely covered in the grace of Jesus. I am completely immersed in the Holy Spirit. My name is Ronnie. I'm a baptized person. I am still covered in God's grace. I am immersed in the Holy Spirit. I didn't mean to always act like it. He's all in for me. And listen, I'm all in for him. I heard about a guy one time who was baptized. He sticks his hand up. They try to baptize him again. He sticks his hand up. They try to baptize him again. Sticks his hand up. So what are you doing? He said, well, there are just some things I'm not ready to let go of yet. Back in the 15th century, true story, Ivan the Great, the Tsar of Russia, is marrying the daughter of the King of Greece. She's in the Greek Orthodox Church. Before they can marry, he must be baptized. And so Ivan the Great travels to Greece with 500 of his crack soldiers. And there are 500 priests in the Greek Orthodox Church who will baptize those 500 soldiers. They walk out into the Mediterranean Sea, and before each soldier is baptized, he reaches to his side, pulls out his sword, and holds it up. The unbaptized arm. Everything was immersed, but they said, but our swords and our fighting arms will not surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. And you say, oh, Ronnie, stuff like that only happens back in the 15th century. Has your checkbook been baptized? Has your tongue been baptized? Has your attitude been baptized? You know, people want to argue so much over, you know, sprinkling, immersion. Listen, the biblical way is immersion. My question to you is, are you still all in? Every day I decide, am I a baptized person today? And you know what? I'm all in. Arm and all, wallet and all, attitude and all. That means I have to make tons of apologies and tons of corrections. But I'm all in. And here's the last question. It's the mechanics question. It's okay, I think I want to be baptized. How do I go about it? You know, who do I call? What do I set up? Will the water be warm? What do I wear? All that. Listen very carefully. I want you to look in your order of worship today, and you'll see a communication card. See that communication card? If you would like to speak with someone, if one of your next steps of obedience is for you to be baptized into Jesus, and you've not been, I want you to look in that communication card. You can check it. Now, be sure to check it and give us some contact information, your name, your phone number, email address, and we can set up a time to visit with you about the mechanics. And here's what you need to know. It's easy. The mechanics are easy. The water is warm. We have clothes for you to wear. You can be baptized on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night. And actually, when's the best time to do it? As you read the Bible, you will see people, get this, coming to faith in Jesus and immediately being baptized. Not setting up, well, let's set up a date 6 months from now. No, immediately going and being baptized. And so, like this morning, you want to talk to somebody about baptism? We make it happen today. Oh, well, you know, the water's probably not warm. It's warm. We got clothes. We've got people who will baptize you. You give me an objection, I'll answer it. Okay? So, mechanics, we will help you. We can help make it happen. Now, let me close with just this comment, and that is, I just want to remind you that baptism is all connected. It's in the name of Jesus, because baptism is simply our faith response to the incredible, amazing, wonderful grace of Jesus Christ, who loves you more than anybody can. All right? Now, let's take a moment, and if you would, you know, fill out those cards. Also on those cards is a place for you to write out a prayer request. And if you'd like to write out a prayer request, you can do that. And when you finish, if you'll just pass those cards to the ends of the aisles, and our ushers will collect those momentarily. All right? Now, take your time and do that. But at this time, we'd like to sort of, let me change gears. And Bordeaux, where are you? Why don't you come on up? And we're going to turn things over now to Bordeaux, because this is a day that we would like to recognize and pray over and really salute and applaud our high school seniors. It's a really, really just a fine, fine group of young men and women, and we wish for you all God's very, very best. We're happy for you. We're happy for your parents and for your grandparents. And anyway, it's our privilege to recognize you and to honor you and to give you a Bible today. All right? So for those of you who may be a guest, this is Brian Borden. He is one of our youth ministers here. And Bordeaux, I'll turn it over to you.